start that. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello and welcome to the Left Wingers podcast. I'm Ross.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Kathleen.
In today's episode, we're going to look at our predictions for the new year. But before we do that, we've got some news. Unfortunately, for the new year, I'm not going to be a member of the team anymore. As you might have noticed, for the last couple of weeks, I've been in and out. I've not maybe been on every episode. It is hard work. There's a lot of work put into this production, whether, you know, of course, we've got the episodes coming out every week, but there's also editing behind those and planning, preparation. Unfortunately, it's just a bit too much work at the moment for me. Not saying I won't be back. I might be back at some point if the guys will take me. But, you know, I wouldn't say that I won't be around at all. I think there will be every couple of weeks you might see my face again or hear my voice. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be a member of the crew.
Oh, Ross.
I'm kidding. I'm not actually crying.
Well, I mean, if you want to cry, Ross, it would be, you know, we're okay with that kind of stuff.
Well, there's two shoulders here to cry on.
Four, technically.
Four, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maths.
Anyway, listen, so I feel the need to say something. So Ross has just been the most fantastic person to record with, and he's a great laugh at the end of the day. And he's always made me smile, and his analysis on Scottish politics is hilarious for somebody who observes it from a distance, but pretty bang on most of the time, which I also find to be very interesting. Ross, I'm in no doubt that you're going to go on to bigger and better things. And, you know, it's a community, like, you're always welcome. You will always be welcome on this show. And all our listeners, I know so many people have come up to me and said how great you are. So keep up with it. We're very excited to see what you do in Scottish Labour and Labour politics in general. So we'll definitely be keeping tabs on you. And at any point in time, you are, of course, more than welcome back. It's more than a podcast. It's a family and it's a community, yeah, of which you are a key member.
No, of course. That was very kind, Kathy. Getting all emotional now. Like I say, it is hard work. And unfortunately, I just can't prioritise this at the moment.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens in future. I'd love to come back at some point.
Doors always open, well,
mate. I'm just thinking of how you came to be on the podcast in the first place. Yeah. It was fairly random. I hadn't actually really spoken to you in any great depth before. And for some reason, this particular day, I just messaged you and I was like, do you want to make a podcast? Like, it was just out of nowhere, really. And I remember you saying to me that you're out somewhere. You can correct me as to where you were.
Yeah.
But you're out somewhere and you rushed home on your bicycle to go on a random podcast recording with Lauren. And that's kind of how it started. And you've just brought, like, such great, fun, energetic energy to the podcast, which, you know, I don't think we'd still be doing it now had you not been on the podcast right from the start. Yeah, you've been brilliant.
No, I remember it. I think you were doing an episode about Scotland and it was obviously a scramble to find a Scottish person. So I hurried home and I came on, and then from there we kicked on from there. I didn't leave. You couldn't get rid of me. But now you have.
A lot of love.
A lot of love.
For Ross on this podcast.
A lot there of love. We go. Shall we move on and look at what's...
Okay, so we thought we'd begin the year with some, like, very funny predictions. And I've got five or six ones that I have written in my own time. The other two, Brandon and Ross, have not heard them. So they're going to kind of quickly react and say hey or nay. And, you know, I'd be interested to see. It's just what they think.
It'll I'm be sweating. Come back in I'm year. Sweating like Prince Andrew.
Don't be.
Well, that's getting cut out.
And the first question, no, I'm just kidding. Prince Andrew, question mark. Okay, so we're going to start on a basic one, but it might not be basic. So, predictions for the year. By the end of 2022, will Boris Johnson be the Prime Minister?
No.
You are giving it to me this one. There's two arguments for this one. So I'll go through the arguments quickly. So, hey... Yes, he will be Prime Minister because he's going to be a sitting duck and nobody in the Conservative Party is macho enough to take him on or they kind of want to let him be the pandemic prime minister and get a new one in for the general election in 2 years' time. And then, of course, the other way around is, no, Liz Truss is just going to call a leadership election and defeat him.
Well, I have to say I've been really appreciating Liz Truss's efforts. I would say she's, in theory, carrying three briefs at the moment, but she still has time to take, but she's still got time to have a photo shoot and look like not only the replacement prime minister, but from the picture which she took, looking like she was sat on a throne, the replacement queen as well. I don't see Boris Johnson being the prime minister at the end of next year. I just, there's too many things that can happen that for me would be his third strike, in the words of a Conservative MP whose name I can't remember at this moment in time. I don't know how he can keep on stumbling through this crisis after crisis that he's created himself. And there's definitely going to be another one, just it's inevitable. So that's going to be the moment where the letters go in and they kick him out.
Ross, do you agree?
I'm not so sure. I think a lot of the new intake of MPs are very loyal to Boris. And I think that might just be what saves him. I can't quite remember the rules for a Tory leadership election, but I think he would just about sail through with the skin of his teeth at this point.
He needs 50 letters. I think that's the magic number.
Yeah, I don't, you know, there may well be a leadership election, but I'm not sure who could defeat him. I think a lot of them are loyal to him still through all. If there was more scandals, which, like Brandon said, is probably inevitable, that might change. But my prediction will be that he will be the Prime Minister by the end of the year.
I don't myself know who would replace him. That's the big question, because people have been touting Liz Truss. I don't think she's up for it at all. Like, she's really not. I mean, to be fair, Boris Johnson, in my opinion, wasn't up to being Prime Minister. But she is one of those politicians who is an empty vessel with no actual belief system, and it's basically, Cathy's really loving this, she's an empty vessel, she's got no belief system as such, and she's, for that reason, she's done so well, because she's very adaptable, she can take on whatever the leadership's views are at the time, and really push a conservative message, whatever that is, at the point in time when they're in power. But in terms of being a leader herself, I don't know if there's any substance there that would mean that she'd do any better than Boris, particularly. One of her kind of advantages is that she's not been, as far as we know so far, directly involved in any of these scandals in terms of the Christmas parties or Owen Paterson. So that's really the thing that she's got going for her. But what else is there? And Rishi Sunak, he for me is starting to lose his shine a little bit, especially seeing as he's actually having to take some really difficult decisions in terms of spending and taxation. I feel like people will start to kind of look at him as a bit more of a... He's got two sides to him. Most people have just seen the shiny side, the well-publicised side, the smiley Rishi, and now I think they're seeing the serious Rishi and the one that isn't so personable. Mm. And I think he's becoming less and less of an asset for his camp by the day.
Yeah, I think like what Gordon Brown says, you have a shelf life in politics. Mm-hmm. And I think Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak, they're not very long shelf lives that they have. People get bored and, you know, no wonder. But I don't know who would take over. I think Dominic Raab might be a shout. Michael Gove, possibly.
Despair.
Yeah.
Well, we can play, can't we, really?
Yeah, if I was a betting man, I'd probably say, well, I'm a betting man, but I would say Michael Gove, I think, would likely try.
You put money on Gove?
For our sake.
I mean, I haven't, but I think.
Would you, though?
If I had to.
No, I'd put money on Truss. Truss, really? All day. Absolutely. No, she's
for our sake, I really hope it's Gove, because they recently did some polling, which was, how would people vote based on potential Conservative Party leaders? Gove was dead last of the people that they polled. So, you know, we're holding out for Gove. To be fair, I think he'd probably be more competent than Boris, but that's not saying much. Yeah, come on, Govey, get your act together.
The Left Wing is officially backed Michael Gove for Party leader 2022. No, that's not true. Of course, we definitely don't. Although I think Liz is going to... I think Liz Truss, I think it's her time. She's been positioning. Very good stuff coming out in the past couple of weeks. I 100% think that she will go for the leadership. And I think if she goes for it, she has a really, really good chance of winning. And if I had to put money on, I'd put money on Liz right now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because on the left of politics, and we are part of the Labour Party, so it doesn't feel like we get those same kind of murmurings as we probably would if we were a Conservative Party podcast. So
we get some young Tories on to talk about it.
We could actually, yeah, if there is a leadership election, which I believe that there probably will be. It's interesting not kind of getting that feeling of members on the ground. Like, for me, we only see the stuff that's happening right at the top of the iceberg. And I don't know who likes Liz Truss. I don't know who doesn't. I don't know what her support's like in the party, what MPs feel about her. I have no idea. So she could have more support than I suspect.
And with that, I think we'll have to move on to Ross. Do you think Nicola Sturgeon is going to be in power this time next year? Is that a dead cert?
I would say it's a dead cert, yeah.
Okay,
I'm not so sure if she'll be there at the next election, but I think this year she'll certainly stay on.
Okay, so I've got another one. So we're going to cross over to the pond and we're going to go, will the Republicans win or do very, very well in the midterms?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I see
to
that.
To what extent do you think?
I think they'll control both houses by decent majorities, maybe 53 in the Senate, and I would say about maybe 55% of the...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brandon, do you agree?
Yeah, I don't know an awful amount about American politics, I have to admit, but that which I do know is that I think a lot of the American public will want to give Joe Biden a little bit of a kick, if nothing else, discounting local or regional factors, because whether it is incompetence or what have you, I think people, ordinary Americans on the ground, will see the chaos which is Biden trying to get through his spending plans and translate that into government incompetency. I feel like that will... I feel like in 2020 as well, the Biden vote, as much as it was for the Democrats, I think it also was an anti-Trump vote. And the United States is still a very conservative, both economically and socially, country. And I think they're going to return back to their kind of natural state of politics if Trump doesn't get re-involved in the top levels of the party.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with both of you, but my overwhelming question is the Republican Party able to separate themselves from Trump? Do they want to? And is there somebody who is particularly seen well enough in the Republican sphere to take that lead at the minute? You know, obviously Biden or Harris will go into the next election as the candidate already, but I can't quite tell who the Republicans will choose. And there doesn't really seem to be any outriders or anyone doing quite well at the minute enough to be able to say, okay, they're definitely going to take a pop at the presidential post. But there's no doubt about it. Biden's time was difficult last year. And I think this year it will also, it will also be difficult.
Here's a question, and I might have stolen yours, Kathleen, depending on what you're about to say. Mm-hmm. But hey or nay, Donald Trump will announce that he's running for president in 2024.
Hey, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Whether anyone will take him seriously is another matter entirely, but the guy is 100%. He's played golf now for a year and a half. He's thought about it. He thinks he's going to come back.
Yeah, I think he will go for it. And if he does, he'll be the candidate. If he's not the candidate, I think whoever he endorses will be the candidate. Like, he has that much sway in the party. I think that, if he wants to get involved, he will dictate who the candidate is.
His advantage has always been that he's got a very solid support base within the Republican Party. And I don't think anybody else at the moment that I can see has that same kind of solid support base that will definitely turn out and vote for him. I just don't know. I don't know who else would replace him at the moment, if I'm entirely honest. Then again, just like in the UK, I don't have my ears to the ground, so I don't know what the Republican membership are thinking. I don't know what the kind of emotions are. So it's just entirely an outsider's perspective. But yeah, just because I know that there's American listeners onto our podcast who are probably sat there thinking, what on earth are they talking about? Just kind of admitting that, don't have an insider's perspective. So
we're observers, yeah.
We're observers, and that's kind of how we see
at
the situation.
Best, we are observers. At yeah. Best. yeah. But if you're sitting in this podcast, you know, you're listening to it in the US, please get in contact with us, especially in the next couple of months, because we'd love to know what's going on the ground and behind the scenes of what I'm sure will be another mega year for American politics. Okay, once again, we'll clock over to another part of the world. Sorry, I'm kind of pushing you all around today. I understand that. But in 2022, will Russia invade Ukraine?
I don't think so.
No. Oh, gosh. I really don't want to.
Have any reasoning behind that. I don't see it. I don't know. I might be completely wrong. And I know there is escalating tensions. I just don't see the West not reacting to that in a way that wouldn't benefit Russia.
I really don't know. I have to say, in terms of international politics, I am quite worried about 2022. I'm probably more optimistic about UK politics than I am international politics and the situation, because I feel like there's a lot of sites of tension that I don't know whether it's going to be next year or it's going to be the year after or at some point in this decade, where it's going to boil over at some point and it's going to become a major issue, not just in Ukraine, but also what's happening in Kashmir, and also what's happening in terms of China's relationship with Taiwan. Like, I just don't know when these conflicts are going to actually boil over into armed conflicts rather than just wars of words and cyber attacks. Like, I don't know when that moment is going
to
be.
I think one of the things to look at is the fact that Europe has changed politically quite a lot. So obviously Merkel's gone, you've got newer people in, and of course upcoming we'll have the Macron election. Now, he is deeply unpopular in parts of France, but he will be challenged by somebody, we think, on kind of the centre-right to the far-right. And last time, the person that challenged Le Pen to challenge Macron really wasn't successful and wasn't even close to winning. So I don't think that they're an extent where a far-right could challenge and successfully win. But if I was Macron, I wouldn't be sleeping easy over it by any stretch of the imagination. So you've got, you know, obviously Johnson here, maybe changing next year, we don't know. You've got Macron, maybe changing, who knows, and a new, very, you know, obviously a shaky Biden who's going through tough electoral season. And then on top of that, of course, you've got the absence of Merkel, who has absolutely had a relationship with Russia that was very much of one standpoint and didn't really change throughout her time. So it's going to be really shaky. And the question is, if they invade, what can the West realistically do about it? And I think that will be a question that I think Vladimir Putin's, you know, chess 12 steps ahead of everyone else, you know, whilst not thinking that in a strange way, is probably mulling that over. But I actually think that there'll be some kind of invasion. Yeah. But whether it will be a, you know, actual proper invasion or they'll do something else. Okay. So I think I have one last one, which is obviously we know we've got local council elections in May for the party. Going to be huge, another major test of Starmer. I think it's fair to say, I think everyone on this podcast will say, we expect Labour to do well. Not necessarily because Labour are doing fantastically well at the minute, but because Boris Johnson is not doing so well. I've read a prediction. I read a prediction from, I think it was someone of The Spectator, that said they thought that Starmer's Labour had a chance of winning over 500 council seats at the next election. Hey or nay?
I mean, I don't think you can get much worse, to be fair. So I think the only way really is up for to lose seats, I'd be very surprised. I don't know what councils are up in England. I know that all of Scotland's are. I don't really know how your council elections work. Is it all councils are up, but it's like one in three seats or something?
I think
like
it's
that?
Like one in three, yeah. What about Scotland, Ross? What do you think will happen?
I really don't know. It's going to be interesting. There's a lot of, you know, I suppose not so much tactical voting because of our voting system, but it's all about where the Tories put their second preferences, where the Greens put their second preferences. It's all up in the air at the moment. We could retake Glasgow. I think it's not possible, but it will be very hard for us to do that. We'll certainly try, and it's by no stretch something that's not achievable. We just need to have a really good year in the run up to May. But we'll see what happens. I'm quietly optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I don't necessarily expect Labour to do massively well in itself. I feel like the more left-wing parties will do well, as in if we group in the Greens and the Lib Dems, I feel like the Greens are going to have quite a good time from what I'm hearing in terms of in a lot of seats where it's Labour-Green swing. I feel like a lot of people are in those safe seats in general are getting tired of whatever council has held power for so long. So, for example, in my seat, Labour has held the majority since as far back as people can remember. And I feel like in constituencies like the Borough of Barnsley, people will vote for whatever the alternative candidate is. And in a lot of seats, that's the Greens. In a lot of seats, that's the Lib Dems. So I feel like the Lib Dems will have good local elections. I feel like Labour won't have a bad local elections, but I don't expect 500 seats plus. I think that's quite ambitious. I hope I'm eating my words. I hope it's brilliant. I hope we smash it out of the park and it puts the final nail in the coffin for Boris Johnson. But I'm just not sure, because I don't think it's on local issues where Labour necessarily cuts through, as well as, for example, the Lib Dems, who jump on every NIMBY opportunity that they can locally.
Yeah, so I have mixed feelings about this, because it depends on if the Tory base come out and vote. Sometimes it's not necessarily that Labour win, it's that the government loses. And I think if they're in a situation where there's been no real change when we get to April, I think it's really, really strong that we could win 500 seats. I think it's completely doable, considering we started from a low base. And I also think if Starmer somehow pulls that off any more than 500, I think that he would have absolutely silenced almost every single critic and can pretty much crack straight on. And I would say if he's able to do that, I would start the next day after, I would start a general election campaign, because he's completely on the footing for it. I live in hope, but I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I think as well, local elections are so tricky because there are so many overlapping local factors that from a national perspective, you just can't see. It's not possible. You can try to draw an overall message from local elections, but really it's kind of enthusiasm for the government.
The base turning out.
And the base turning out. And that's about it. Like, there's not much else there for me. And I hate local election commentary for that reason, because it's just impossible
to read too much into it always.
It's impossible to get an overall message from local elections on any particular issues.
Last one, good year four, bad year four. So I think I can speak on behalf of all of us when I say 2022 will be a bad year for Prince Andrew.
Bad year, worst year.
Oh, bad year.
Bad year. I can't see it going well for him, given what's happened in the past 2 weeks. I would encourage him not to travel to America.
No holidays.
Good year four. Who do we think could do it?
Ooh.
I'm going to pop a name out there, and it might be rubbish, but I'd be interested to see.
Okay.
Whoever, I think it might be Lewis Goodall, but that's just because I think he's quite a good journalist. But whoever takes over Andrew Marr's slot, who else went Jon Snow. That's it, or Jon Snow. Whoever takes over either of those. There's been a changing of the guard in the media recently. It's not really
been noticed.
A lot of people are taking their time. Andrew Neil, Andrew Marr, Jon Snow, as you were saying, Ross.
Laura Koonsberg.
And there's a new generation of political reporters that I think are up and coming. And anyone who's lucky enough and fortunate enough to be in one of those slots, the next year's 2022 is going to be full of news. There's no doubt about that. They will have a baptism of fire, but hopefully they'll deal with it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyone else I think it might be a good year for?
Wes Streeting, if he keeps on the track that he's going. I think, you know, he's going to be maybe touted as a future leadership hopeful. I think that's entirely doable for him over the next year. And if he keeps performing like he has been performing, he is going to have a very good year, because people are starting to take notice of him.
Ross, good year for Anna Sawa?
I think so, hopefully. We'll just see if we can really break through with the council elections. That's what it all comes down to.
Anyone you've got your eye on in Scottish politics who you think might have a breakout year?
Not too sure at the moment, to be honest with you. I'm really struggling to pick one. There's quite a few out there that could have good years. I'm just hopeful for an ass in the Labour Party in Scotland. But we'll keep yous updated.
I'm also going to say, and this might be a little bit out there, good year for Kamala Harris?
I'm not so sure. I don't know. Her personal polling's not doing very well.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could be a good year because she could have a bit of a turnaround.
Could be a good
but
year.
Yeah, it's not. She's not doing great at the moment. So I suppose the only way is up for her.
Yeah, I think she needs a good year or she might be ditched off the ticket in 2024.
Yeah, I agree with that. And of course, we hope good year for Keir Starmer and Mark Drakeford and Anna Sarwar and any other Labour leader in the UK.
Just going to tout this now because in the next couple of weeks, we should have the hopeful candidates to be South Yorkshire Mayor on our podcast. So it'll be a good year, I think, I reckon, given the results of the South Yorkshire mayoral elections last time. It'll be a good look, a good year for anybody who is on that ticket for the Labour Party, I think.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. We're hoping you've had a great start to the new year. I wish you all the best going forward. Thanks for listening to us. It's been great spending the last year and a bit talking with these two on a weekly basis. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to my beautiful voice.
If you've enjoyed listening, you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram. You can like us on Facebook. You can subscribe to us on any good podcast streaming platform. And please, do keep in touch with us. We love hearing your feedback about our episodes and tell your friends about us. It's the main way that we grow our podcast. You know, people hear about us is through word of mouth. So if you can do that for us, that'd be fantastic.
Keep whinging. Ross, we'll see you very, very soon. Have a great January. Have a great new year. And we'll see you soon.